Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me once again Michael Hudson. He is the CEO and chairman of Hannon Metals. Hannon Metals is a company that I've added to my newsletter. It's one that I'm very excited about because it has seems to have tremendous scale and high-grade copper-silver sedimentary-hosted deposit. Well, I guess we can't call it a deposit yet, but certainly a target and very, very vast in a number of them in Peru that Michael will talk about in a moment. Hannon Metals trades in Canada and in the U.S. You can buy it in Canada under HAN. You can buy it in the U.S. as well under the gray markets. 83.6 million shares with some warrants recently coming in. Trading today, in recent days, at around 47 cents in Canadian money, giving it a market cap of a little bit under $40 million. And that seems like a very modest market cap, given what I think this company may be able to achieve starting this year with some pretty serious exploration going on with COVID, hopefully getting around the COVID issues, and we'll see a more aggressive exploration program this year. So I'm really pleased that Michael could join me again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
It's always a pleasure, Jay. Good morning from down under.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. On the other side of the earth. In your press release of March 9th, I noticed at the end you talked a little bit about the greening of this globe and how everybody is putting an emphasis on reducing the carbon footprint and wanting to get into electric transportation and so forth. How does that impact? I mean, it seems to me that should be pretty bullish for metals like copper and silver, which is what you're looking for in Peru. I guess those are the two metals you're primarily focused on there.
It is a huge overlay to the business. I mean, somewhere back in the 50s, I think the mining industry actually lost its way. Before the 50s, it was seen as a very noble industry, and people understood the direct link between economic growth and people's welfare and moving people out of poverty into the way that we're all now used to living. But somewhere in the 50s, I think, a generation or so ago, it lost its way. And I think this is a chance for mining to reclaim that mantle in many respects, because as everybody knows, not everyone articulates, if you want a low carbon world, you need more metals. And of course, there's so much discussion around sustainable and ethical supply of those metals. And with things like blockchain these days, where we can almost pinpoint atom by atom transactions, if you like, that's where it's heading. We'll be able to find and trace the metal coming from certain mines in the world in years to come. And there's huge studies happening right at the moment to do that, right through to that metal landing in an iPhone battery or a Tesla or whatever it may be. So there'll be different pricing around the metals, and we see that coming. And we already see that coming in terms of investors and their demand to see, a sustainable and appropriate ESG, environmental social governance platform to companies. And you can imagine an Apple or a Tesla just can't afford to buy metal from inappropriate places, whether it be environmental or high carbon issues or poor labor practices.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what you're saying is there's going to be more cognizance of those kind of wrongdoings or irresponsible mining practices, you think, and there will be a price to be paid, or at least a premium will be paid for socially acceptable means of producing these products.
Absolutely, they'll be differentiated, Jay, and it will start with the bigger companies and move its way down, just very much like our petroleum business has different categories and pricings around oil today, for example. For that is done because of qualities of oil. But oil has lots of different pricings, and copper only has one single price today. But that will change, and it's the way it's going. And as a consequence, metals will cost more because there'll be fewer sources of the metals that people want to buy, and they're becoming harder and scarcer. And I suppose that segues into the value of having very large scale projects at earlier stages right now will be worth a lot should they continue to succeed, like what we're doing, of course, in Peru.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. It's a sedimentary hosted copper silver target, a target, I guess, more than one. And you have something like 1,864 square kilometers, I believe. That's 186,400 hectares of granted mineral concession and applications in Peru. And that makes you one of the top 10 in-country exploration companies by land area, by claim area. What vision do you have then for your project? I mean, give our listeners some sense of what you're thinking you may be able to accomplish, and to what extent do you think you'll be able to comply with, or the characteristics of your deposit or your targets, I should say, that might lend itself towards socially responsible mining?
It's a very big and broad question, Jay, and I suppose it's a plan that has been coming together over the last 2 to 2.5 years when we first went in back to Peru. I've had decades of experience in that country, but love it dearly. But we went back in and said, where can we really make big discoveries? And you know, I suppose I got to the stage in my career that I had a few ideas on what really works. And early stage exploration isn't always rewarded, and the junior capital markets will reward more advanced projects and legacy projects where people can perhaps come in and drill some good drill holes around something that's known. But legacy projects generally are legacy for one reason, that they haven't worked across a number of cycles. And what really turned my crank is maybe an Australianism, but what I really enjoy doing, what our team really enjoys doing, is making discoveries, and that's what motivates us. And making big ones is just as easy as making small ones in many ways, if you look with the right viewpoints. So we said, where can we get big land positions? Where are the big mineralized systems forming? And we knew a little bit about this area, which is the eastern side of the Andes. It's in the jungle. It's a harder area to explore from a logistical point of view, without a doubt. 20 years ago, it was almost impossible. I was going through there with a lot of security at the time, because it was an area that where a lot of the drugs were sourced for the world. But that cleaned up, and that really is not the case today. And we're going in there, and we've been working there for years without any real issues whatsoever. The major risk is slips and falling on rocks and hurting ourselves is the truth if you do a risk assessment today. So we made those decisions back a couple of years ago. Then we started to think about these different styles that haven't been found. And you mentioned that very big land package, 1,800 plus square kilometres, which puts us in the top 10 landholders. You can't make big discoveries without having big land positions, and the majors know that. So there's ourselves and Keith Barron and Orania who make up the top 10, and then the average market cap of the top 10 is something like $50 billion. So you can just see the major companies like taking big positions, and we're replicating that. And now we're looking for large mineralizing systems in Peru's new frontier areas, and it's two pronged. It is number one, this sediment hosted copper system, which is relatively new to Peru. This is a system that's known right from Colombia through Ecuador, Peru, Argentina down to Chile, but nobody's really looked at these things in detail. There's some mines in Bolivia based on this mineralizing system, but these form big, vast mineralizing systems. The Kufa Schiefer in Poland extends through Poland and into northern Germany, and is collectively the largest silver producer on Earth even today, even though it's been mined since the Middle Ages, essentially. And really, they form generational scale projects, and that's what we found. We've got tenure over something like 120 kilometres, and it's tens of kilometres across that we're looking, and we're finding the right style of mineralisation, like a pancake, more or less thin but high grade over those kind of distances. And we were very fortunate to get JOGMEC. The Japanese government has an arm that looks to source metal for its industry, and we did a deal with them late last year where they can spend up to $35 million to earn 75% in this project over the next coming years. And over the next few years, we're even putting $7 million US dollars over the next 3 years into this. So we will have ramped up exploration as we come out and learn how to work with COVID. We were slowed down last year, and even this year we had February as a gap as Peru's numbers started to increase again. But we've been there working, and you'll see, you know, double the exploration dollars go into the ground this year than we spent last year, or actually three times as much, flying big airborne surveys and lots of teams on the ground and working up to permitting to drilling, which is very slow in Peru. So we don't see ourselves drilling until next year, early next year, but we've got a lot of work to do. So you know, a very large supporter. It's not costing Hannon shareholders a cent to participate in all this upside that is the San Martin project and a vast new style of mineralization that's really just starting to be understood by us, and there's a lot of eyes on us and what we're doing. And then that's only one third, of course, of what we're doing in Hannon. Two thirds of that ground holding is in our own right so far, so not under joint venture. And we've made some very early stage discoveries a few hundred kilometres south of that joint venture with JOGMEC, looking for a very different style. They're copper gold porphyries. We're in an area that's seen very little exploration again, and we've had teams there for the last 4 or 5 months. We put out one press release earlier this month that I know has got lots of people in the industry talking and observing what we've got. It's very hard for your listeners to make an assessment between any company, I'm sure, and the results they're getting and beyond the headline numbers. Well, and then the headline numbers that we're finding up to 25% copper there, but the more impressive thing is the scale that we're finding high-grade copper and stream sediment samples, which are defining very large catchment areas. So it looks like we've locked and reloaded our exploration portfolio and going to do again what we've done over the last 18 months in San Martin and define a potential world-class terrain. So you've got two of those already in Hannon, one fully funded and one we're working up to look to do the same again.
So I guess this year it's going to be mostly surface work, getting ready, learning the geology, and then preparing for drilling in early 2022. That would be on your joint venture project. And what about some of those projects? I believe that some of your targets, and the two-thirds of the land mass that you hold, that some of those are, I mean, you mentioned there's a copper-gold porphyry target, but the others are mostly the sedimentary hosted copper-silver targets, much like your joint venture one?
Yeah, so it's of the 1,800 square kilometres, a third is under joint venture with JOGMEC, which is a sediment-hosted system. Now, approximately 50% of the total land holding would be sediment-hosted copper, and 50% would be copper gold porphyries, and I think I'm just picking up on the different styles. You know, they the two styles produce pretty much 95% of the world's copper. Porphyries slightly outnumber sediment hosted systems these days, but sediment hosted systems are in many respects much more amenable to the modern world, and we touched on ESG at the start of this conversation. But high grade systems, they're thin, but they form underground systems. So the average grades around the world of whatever commodity you're looking at are dropping, and that means we need to find bigger volumes of rock to mine the same metal generally. So, you know, back 15 or 20 years ago, it was a percent copper that was sort of the minimum position that we looked at for whatever style of deposit, and you know, that's almost halved. It's probably around to 0.6 now. Works gold is dropping in similar ways too, so people are mining bigger and bigger volumes of rock to get the same amount of metal, not more. And then the other thing to add to the mix is this growing population we have. We'll mine more copper in the next 20 years, and you've probably heard this one many times, than we have for the whole history of the earth. So we need more and more. We need to do it in more environmentally responsibly And having high grade in underground mines where you have a much lower footprint feeds so well over vast areas, feeds so well into that dynamic. So it really is a style for the future as well, these sediment hosted systems.
So you're looking for a high grade underground and less of a footprint than you might have in some of the larger scale open pit mines.
Exactly. And we do have those porphyry targets, but you know, we may be looking at though they could be deeper and they could be underground too, of course.
Sure.
But certainly the days of big open pits are coming harder and harder to operate, I believe. And it's not the end, but there will be specific areas where open pitting will just stop and it will feed into that ESG. And there's a term that your listeners probably have never heard. It's called project governance. And, you know, we know about board governance and making mm-hmm. sure boards operate appropriately. But it's a question that can be applied to a project itself and building a project that should be built
yeah.
as opposed to that can be built
mm-hmm.
With all the overlay of ESG and social demands and political demands that are so much different these days.
So we're going to have to wait for drill results, the third dimension, so to speak, in early 2022. But it should be mentioned that you'll be having, I'm sure, news releases coming out from time to time. For example, this one that came out on the 9th of March. There's a lot of great information in there and exciting information, too. I mean, you talk about Zone East and Zone South, strike of over 2.5 kilometers, a structure that you found that's mineralized in some pretty impressive grades that are there on surface, I guess, right? These are outcrops.
Exactly, and outcrops are few and far between in the areas, but these were the first outcrops that we found over something like 2.5 kilometers strike of a system. We're seeing it, and it's open, and it's open in every direction, and we're only finding in two dimensions at surface and not at depth, of course, because these are surface sampling. But you'll see meat, you know, what 1 to 3 meters at various percents of copper that show this system can develop. You know, I think there's up to 6% copper there over significant widths, and it was 80 kilometers from the other outcrops that we found late last year. So you know, it's the same system and it's developing. So each release that you see will really be a groundbreaking one in terms of discovery, I think, in terms of what we're doing. We're doing a hell of a lot of stream sediment surveys over that vast area so we can start to pick the anomalous catchments to narrow down our search. We're just about to fly an industry-leading, I think, I can say, LIDAR survey, which is what, for those listeners who've got the iPhone 12, they know what a LIDAR camera is because you can basically point your camera around a room or a chair and it will image the chair or image the room to intimate points. And it's basically throwing out lots of laser points and receiving those back and measuring the distance between the camera and that point. And you can measure and map surfaces. And we can do that now with the increasing technology that's only yeah. relatively new over the last few years, fly these jungle areas and see the ground and map those outcrops without having to cut our way through thick forest. And then we can measure them and see where they're going, and you know, that's got us really excited because it will really shortcut our path to discovery too.
Wow, technology certainly is playing a major role in exploration, development, and production in the mining sector. Michael, we'll have to leave it go at that. It's really, I think it's a really fascinating, promising story that people should be paying attention to. Your press releases will come out, and those people who are really able to perceive the magnitude of this thing, I think they want to pay close attention to what's going on. So I want to thank you very much for being with us and sharing this very exciting story with our listeners once again.
Thank you, Jay. This is one to play out over the next few years, but it's certainly the opportunity is vast, and we've even got the Japanese government seeing that. And
absolutely.
We look forward to talking to you again. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You bet. Thank you very much.